Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. This is Neil Amato, a senior editor with the J of A. In this episode, I talk with author Todd Cohen on the topic of networking. But first, take a few moments to listen to a word from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
Todd Cohen is a well-traveled speaker and he is the author of the book, Everyone's in Sales. Regarding networking, well, let's just say Todd has plenty of thoughts on the subject. I spoke with him at a recent conference where he had presented a session on networking right before a networking reception, putting everyone on edge about how exactly they should handle the exchange of business cards. Here's the episode with Todd Cohen.
When I say networking, what comes to mind for you?
Well, for me, it's a way to build my business. It's a way to build the currency of relationships that we all need day in and day out to help us do whatever it is that we need to do. Networking for me, as I've learned the hard way, and now it's an integrated part of my world and my business, networking is an absolute mandatory thing that we all need to be better at.
Do people like networking?
Well, you know, it depends on who you're asking, right? There are people who, once they understand that every conversation is a networking opportunity and networking is not something else that you have to do, people understand that it's okay and they like it, right? Because it's something that's already part of every conversation. And then there are those people who only network when they have to, quote unquote, you know, you're out of work, you're in transition, you need something. And they think of networking as, well, I've got to stop doing what I'm doing and go to that event or attend this conference or go here or go there. And I've got to be on and I've got to do this and I've got to talk a certain way. Those are the people who don't like networking because they don't understand what it is.
They don't see the value in it.
Well, they don't see the value in it. Exactly. They think it's something that is, you know, akin to, you know, getting surgery. I just only if I absolutely have to network. And those are the people that need to be networking the most, typically.
You spoke recently about networking and you said, quote, the time to network is when you don't need to network. Tell me, what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So what I've learned in the last, you know, 9 or 10 years, you know, being somebody who networks all the time, I have seen people who only network, only get out there, go to events, try to meet people. They get that smell of desperation on them. They only do that activity when they absolutely need to. For example, they've been put into transition, also known as losing their jobs, right, is one way to put it. And it's like anything else. You look for a job when you don't need a job. Well, you should be networking constantly so that your network, which is nothing more than the army of people who know you, know what you do, trust you, will refer you, that army of people, if you will, is always at the ready and you're always building it, strengthening it. It's about building a bank of relationships that you're there for them and they're always there for you. Networking is not an optional activity. It's not something you only do when you're in pain. You need to be doing it when I never want to say you don't need to do it, but not when you must have to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you got to keep up the activity.
You mentioned as one bit of advice to, quote, be vulnerable. How exactly does someone do that?
By being yourself. So many years ago, when I was starting my practice as a keynote speaker and author, I sat down with one of my very first clients and I asked him, his name is Andy, and I said, Andy, I've been with you for a year working on a consulting basis. And I said, you know, after this year, the question I have for you is, what is it that you think that I do? So by asking that question, I made myself vulnerable because I had to open myself up and be willing to listen to whatever his answer was. You see, the challenge is, if we're not vulnerable, we wrap ourselves in a shield of unapproachability, unavailability, don't come near me, I know what I do. We wrap ourselves in this blanket of hubris. And by being vulnerable, we're willing to take in, listen, and absorb how other people see us. And when we have the courage to do that, which is nobility, then we get better. And here's the real trick. People are drawn to people who are vulnerable. People buy from people. People hire people. People want to build a relationship when they sense that you're just like them. You're real. Vulnerability is a path to being real.
But is there a line that you can cross in that effort to be too vulnerable? Could it be a TMI type thing, too much information?
Well, of course. I mean, we all have people who wear their hearts so far down on their sleeve that, in talking to them for 10 or 15 minutes, you know everything bad that's ever happened to them. Yes, there is certainly a line. And I think the reality of it is that line is different for everybody. The more skilled you become at building relationships, at talking and connecting with people, the more skilled you are at knowing your audience and knowing what's okay, what's not okay, what you should keep to yourself. We open ourselves up more to people as we get to know them. We have to allow for that specifically, allow ourselves to get to know people. And more importantly, we have to let people get to know us. So, for example, I had cancer last year. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm proud to say that. I had prostate cancer. Thank God I'm fine. I caught it early. And I am very open with that story because, one, it's a story that is identifiable for all men. We should all, and yes, this is my getting on my soapbox to men, take care of yourselves, right? It could save your life getting a blood test. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. But I share that story because it's identifiable with any other man out there, right? Now, maybe I don't say in the first 10 minutes, hi, I'm Todd Cohen, I had cancer. However, it is part of my keynote, and it's a story and an anecdote and a real-time experience that I use when I feel it's the right moment. Because when people hear that story, they go, wow, he's just like me. See, I've made myself vulnerable and they can connect with me easier.
Do some people more than others have a hard time sharing about themselves?
Absolutely. Look, not everybody is the same. I happen to be one of those people, you know, who I wear my heart on my sleeve. And, you know, a lot of that is insecurity, right? I mean, I grew up that kid who was the nerd with the tape on his glasses, you know, pushing the AV cart to anybody in the audience who actually remembers a reel-to-reel movie. You know, so I was very insecure growing up. And here I am being vulnerable, right? Because it's okay with me to let you know who I am. And so vulnerability was something I learned very early because it was a way to draw people closer to me. I also learned it was, at times, it repelled people. So you do have to be careful. It's a judgment call.
For our listeners, I've heard Todd recently, now 2 years in a row, at the CFO conference, the AICPA CFO conference, first on Everyone's in Sales.
Everyone's in Sales.
And then this year on networking. Regarding networking, is networking at an out-of-town conference such as this any different than networking at, say, a local Chamber of Commerce event?
Absolutely not. And that's what people have to realize. I don't necessarily categorize networking by the event. The event itself is a place to get better at networking. It's a place to build relationships, meet new people. You have to take it up a level and say networking is a skill and an art that is present in every single conversation. So networking isn't, you know, I'm going to an event, I'm going to network, and then I get to come back to my office and just do my work. Because when somebody walks into your office or you're in the lunchroom or you have an interaction with a staff member, you're networking. You see, networking is all about connection and building a relationship. That's what networking is. It's present and part of every single conversation we have. So don't think of networking as, oh, I'm busy, I need to go to the Chamber of Commerce tonight and network. And thank goodness that's only going to be 2 hours. If you have that attitude, what you'll do is you'll come away from that feeling empty and unfulfilled because everybody will see that you didn't want to be there.
In such a networking conversation, according to your advice, there should be a call to action. What exactly is that?
Well, a call to action is nothing more than a defined understanding of what the next steps are. So here's what happens in a typical conversation. Call it a networking conversation. Call it whatever you want. Every conversation is sales. Every conversation is networking. There, I got my plug in again. So here's what this means. You could have a great conversation with somebody. Maybe it's me as a speaker talking to a potential meeting planner or a CFO who wants to bring me in to speak to his organization. That's happened a number of times. And if the CFO, for example, says, Todd, this sounds great, I'd like to bring you in, I have a choice. I can say, well, that's great, I'll shoot you an email and we can talk about it more. Or I can say, thank you, Neil, here are the next steps. I'm going to send you a proposal by tomorrow at noon. It'll have my agreement in it. I need you to review it, sign the proposal, come back, then I'll send you an invoice. The call to action is, how do I go forward? What is it that I need to do, you need to do, so that we can take this conversation forward to both have a mutually beneficial outcome? Help me help you. Often people say, Todd, I want to hire you. I don't know how. How do you hire a speaker? I understand that, you know, so I send you my agreement, you send me money, I show up, I talk, I'm gigantically oversimplifying. If you come away from a conversation and you think, my goodness, that was awesome, I really enjoyed meeting that person, and then you go, now what? You've lost the moment. What's next? Maybe it's when we get back home, I'm going to pick up the phone and just follow up and get to know you better and see how I can help you. That's a call to action. You have to set that at the end of the conversation.
And you recommend such follow-up within 24 hours?
Absolutely. Look, people have short memories and they have even shorter attention spans, right? I mean, it's just fact. I mean, we're so overconnected. We're so besieged with the perceived emergency of our cell phones. And my gosh, if I'm off my computer for 13 and a half seconds, the whole world is going to collapse because I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Okay, sarcasm aside, we have got to get over ourselves, right? You know, we seriously have to get a grip here. And so as a result, we may say, hey, I'm going to follow up with you. And then this, you know, mountain of, you know, oh my goodness, importance descends upon us and we forget. The problem is the person that you're supposed to follow up with will forget as well. So you've got to catch somebody while it's still fresh. So I typically say, and there's no rule of thumb, you need to follow up with somebody in about 24 hours. Send a follow-up email, or even, dare I say, pick up the phone. I know that's anathema to certain generations because the art of conversation, there I go being sarcastic again, the art of conversation has been lost. That being said, yeah, after a certain period of time, it just fades from memory. And then somebody says, wait a minute, who is this again? Who are they? And that's really frustrating.
So as an aside, I'm not sure this makes the cut in the podcast, but I believe I did not reach out to you until 9 months after the event. And we were able to work things out. So the good news is there are exceptions to every rule.
Well, I want to share something about that, though. I mean, Neil, this is a really good point. You're right. It was a long time. And I didn't remember you. And here's what you did that made it so great. You were vulnerable in that initial email to me. I don't remember the exact words. You threw yourself on the sword immediately. You said, Todd, this is Neil. We met at the conference. My fault for not following up. We had talked about this. And I read that and I thought, this guy is cool because he's being vulnerable. And it made me drop any sort of like, where you been or why you bothering me or how dare you? I mean, I wouldn't think that. I mean, I'm flattered when anybody reaches out to me. I mean, heck, when my wife calls me, I'm thrilled. Honey, if you heard that, you know, I need to hear from you. Anyhow, so you see, you practiced vulnerability in that initial email. That's the difference, Neil. That's the whole point. And now here we are. We've renewed our relationship, and I'm sure we'll do more together in the future.
In what ways can someone prepare for a networking event?
Yeah, so this is what I tell people all the time. I don't like to tell people anything. Let me take that back. This is what I suggest to people all the time, right? If you're going to go to a networking event, first of all, you got to have your game on. If you're going in there looking like you've just had surgery and, you know, the message you want to send is, I would rather be anywhere else, and you walk in with a scowl on your face, or you're all that in a box of cookies, or you're self-important and you need people to see that you're a big deal, you will repel people, right? You know, so try putting a smile on your face. I mean, something as simple as that. We are attracted to people who are smiling. I personally don't look for the person who's got the biggest frown and say, wow, that's somebody I really want to get to know. So if you're going to a networking event or you're coming to a conference like this particular conference, you know what? You've got to get your game on. You've got to be present, which means take a deep breath. Don't worry about the crises or the perceived crises around you. I can promise you, your business will still be there when you get home. And just be in the game and let people approach you. Have something interesting to say, read an article, do something that arms yourself to have a conversation with anybody about anything. And most importantly, when people approach you, again, put a smile on your face, let them know that you're approachable, you can be vulnerable, make eye contact. That means you're listening. You don't have to do anything else different than you would normally do when you're in a good place. Be in a good place when you come to these events. And if you can't be in a good place, don't come, because everybody will remember that you had that look on your face.
So you've prepared for the event, you've read some articles, maybe you've looked at the attendee list of people you want to target. You're there in a conversation. What are two or three goals of a networking conversation?
So, and clearly, Neil, again, you want to make sure that you're present as well, which means you're making eye contact, you're smiling, you're available. You don't want to monopolize time. So if your goal is to make meaningful connections, and, you know, a meaningful connection in a conversation, we know as human beings what that means. There's a connection. We like that person. It's a good conversation. It's like meeting your friend or a spouse. It's like, it's just comfortable. You don't want to monopolize time. So really, you know, the rule of thumb I like to suggest to people is 15, 20 minutes, and then you should both move on and meet other people. Have a conversation. It's meaningful. Have that call to action. Maybe pull out your phones and schedule a follow-up time, and then move on. The other thing is you want to have a strong introduction, as I said a few moments ago. You know, you want to make sure that you can talk about your value proposition. This is what I do, not my title, not my company. I don't care. I know, you know, at a CFO conference, if you introduce yourself and you say, I'm a CFO, well, no kidding. I didn't think this was, you know, rabbinical studies, you know, training. I know it's a CFO conference. Telling me you're a CFO doesn't inspire me to want to talk to you. So strong introduction, not monopolizing time, and knowing when to move on when it's appropriate.
What is your advice for how people can make fewer, more meaningful connections as opposed to coming home and saying, hey, I got 85 business cards?
Well, so I always love this question because people look at networking as a business card exchange. And I am violently against that notion because, you know, you use the number 85. So let's just say, for example, you go to a conference or you're at the lunchroom. It doesn't matter. And there's 85 people in there and you feel that your job is to hand out 85 business cards and that's successful. What you've done is just, you know, barely met 85 people, and you have 85 people who will say, who was that person? So what I like to suggest to people is you want to make meaningful connections, right? Take the pressure off to meet everybody. You don't need to. If you're coming back to the same conference over and over again, you're going to see those people have an opportunity. You also don't want to hang with the people that you already know. That's called clumping. You know, networking is a no clumping zone. Coming to a conference in another city and some of your colleagues are there, what are you doing hanging out with them? You see them every day as it is. Go meet new people, for crying out loud. That's the point. Go to a session with people that you know are new to you. You never know where those relationships are going to take you. And I'll say it over and over again. Networking is not a speed exercise. It is not an exercise of numbers. It is an exercise of quality over quantity. Take your time. Take the pressure off. Have meaningful conversations. 2-3 conversations per multi-hour period is a real win for you and for them.
So in addition to the no clumping rule, tell me about your rule of two and then also the 7-10 rule.
Yeah, so the rule of two is a big deal. So there's nothing more frustrating when you're having a great conversation. You finally found somebody that you're having a meaningful conversation. It could be for any one of a number of reasons. Maybe it's somebody that you know you've wanted to meet for the past 3 conferences, and finally there's that person. It's like victory. You finally have some time with this individual, and it's a great conversation. You're talking about subjects of mutual interest, and it's maybe something you don't want to have interrupted. And then out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody who's just staring at the both of you, and you know that they want to interrupt. They want to meet either you or the person you're talking to. And it causes that momentary panic because you're thinking, please don't interrupt me. Please don't come near. I really don't want to be interrupted. And, you know, you turn a little bit and the person you're talking to turns, thinking you're sending the message to that person, please don't interrupt us. And you look up and they're right there in front of you. And next thing you know is they interrupt you. They say, hi, I'm so-and-so. And they stick their head right in between you and they blow the moment for you. You're angry. And you can see the person you're talking with is also angry because your moment has been interrupted. It's rude, it's ignorant, and frankly, it doesn't serve any valuable purpose. So the rule of two is very simple. If you see two people talking, leave them alone. Don't lurk, don't make it obvious. Just go somewhere else, beat somebody else to talk to. You'll get your opportunity. The only way that you should ever, ever approach two people is if one of the two says, Neil, I want you to meet John, or something like that. If you see two people talking, leave them alone. You don't want to interrupt anybody's moments. And the 7-10 rule means that when someone says to you, what do? Or they start the conversation, you typically have 7-10 seconds to grab their attention. That's your sales moment. See, I said it, that dreaded word sales, everyone's in sales. CFOs, finance people, you sell every day. Okay, there, I've said it. I'll get off my soapbox. 7-10 means 7-10 seconds is really the window you have to grab somebody's attention so that they say, hey, tell me more, or that sounds interesting, or what did you learn from that? It doesn't matter how you start the conversation. You can't babble on for 30, 60, 90 seconds uninterrupted and assume that somebody is staying with you. You've got to grab somebody initially, engage them, and give them a reason to want to engage you back. In the 11th second, people have already either clicked off and they're already thinking about the 77 emails that are an emergency that they must go and answer, sarcasm duly noted, or they are saying, hey, that sounds interesting, tell me more, or you know, they just feel like they want to get into a conversation. And it doesn't even have to be about business. It could be, I'm in Arizona, I didn't realize it got so hot this time of year, which is what I said to somebody last night. And the woman looked at me and said, well, you're clearly not from the South, are you? I said, do I look like I'm from the South? And we wound up having this 20-minute conversation. It was spectacular. And it wasn't even about business. You never know.
So if you're in one of those conversations that you don't want to be in, how can you end it?
Yeah. So what happens is people are pretty rude when they don't know how to network. They just sort of walk away, or they say, oh, I'm going to get a drink, I'll be right back, and they don't come back. Or, you know, I've seen people do every trick in the book. There's a polite, respectful way to end a conversation. Put your hand out and say, now, Neil, I would love talking to you, but I'll pretend I'm the victim here. I'll say, Neil, I've really enjoyed the conversation. This looks like a great event. A lot of awesome people here. I know we both want to meet other people as well. Have a great night. And then walk away.
Simple as that.
As simple as that. It's respectful, it's polite, and it sends the message that, yes, I've enjoyed chatting with you. Yes, it's a great event. Yes, I'd like to go and connect with some other people as well. It doesn't have to send the message that, would you please leave me alone because you're driving me crazy because you won't end. Of course, I'm being silly. So
I'm sure some people have used the I need to take this call or I need to send an email with their phone out. That's one way maybe to get out of a conversation, not necessarily recommended. But for people who have their phones out at networking events, I'm sure you have some thoughts about
that.
Oh,
my goodness. Well, if you're I was noticing this last night. If you're at a networking event and you're standing there by yourself on your phone, You just, why are you there is my point. Now, look, we all have family issues. We all have things that are genuine. You're here to engage, meet, learn, renew, and refresh relationships. That's your goal. If you're standing there on your phone, you're sending the message, I'm not approachable. Leave me alone. I'd rather be somewhere else. That is not networking. That is the opposite of networking. That is a repellent activity. You know, there was a time when these things didn't exist. There was a time when people came to meetings like this and they had nothing to take up their time. There was nothing to look at. So you actually were forced into the dreaded art of conversation, and people did a lot better. So the only time you should take out your phone is at the end of a conversation when you say, I really enjoyed this. I want to make sure we follow up. Let's schedule a time to talk. And that's also a great way to end a conversation. If you're on your phone and you're clearly not engaging people, people see that. People are much smarter than we give them credit for. People notice that, and they're probably not going to want to engage you. And people have long memories as well.
So what if I haven't asked you that you'd like to end on?
I think where I'd like to end this is very simple. Networking is not something else that you have to do. It's not a separate, foreign, or adjunct activity to your normal day-to-day world of doing whatever it is you do professionally. Networking is every conversation we're having, because every conversation is an opportunity to build, strengthen, renew, revitalize a relationship. Don't think of networking as something else. Think of it as every conversation is networking, just like every conversation is selling. Don't overthink networking. Don't think of it as, geez, I'm busy, I gotta go network. Because if you have that attitude, you'll come away empty-handed, and it will reinforce the incorrect stereotype of networking. That's where I'd like to leave this message.
Thank you, Todd.
Neil, thank you. I've had a ball.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.